but also the son of an earthly mother who sacrificed greatly so that he could be brought into this world. I think it's very fitting to have a day that we commemorate in gratitude what our mothers have done for us. And it's especially a great honor to have my mother with us here today. It's a privilege and an honor. I thank her for what she has done for me, the way she has sacrificed for me. I was speaking to a friend yesterday. He said he's having devotions this morning at church. And he shared one of the verses that he was going to share with the congregation there. I thought that was very fitting. I want to read them to you at this time. Proverbs 23, 24, and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Challenge I leave with those of you who might not be mothers this morning. Are you living a life of righteousness? Are you living a life of wisdom, godly wisdom, so that she that bare thee might rejoice when she thinks of you? The title for the message this morning is Snapshots of Faith in Motherhood. We are so quick today to snap a picture of something that we want to remember. Something that is fleeting. It's there and then it's gone. But if we just snap a photo of it real quickly, and then we have something that we can keep as a memory. As I was pondering mothers in the Bible, I had to think about it so much like that. The Bible wasn't written about motherhood. That was not the main plot, the main storyline. But we have little snapshots of mothers, faithful mothers throughout the Word, throughout the times recorded in history for us. In fact, two of the ones we're looking at this morning, we don't even have a name for. That's how brief the snapshot is. And yet, their faith is amazing, as what we will see as we go through this message. I had to wonder, is there anything that requires as much faith as being a mother? I suppose there is. But motherhood requires great faith. So you give your body as a cradle for the unborn. You endure the pain of childbirth. You endure the sleepless nights as you care for and nourish your little one. You teach the little toddler what no means. You read the Bible stories to the preschooler. You teach them right from wrong. You send the first grader off to school. You bandage the wounds. You wipe the tears. You do this again and again and again. You're guiding them, you're inspiring them, you're loving them. This is what a mother does day in and day out. Yesterday I was sowing some seeds, some grass seed, at a place where I had sown before. And the grass seed did not come up like I wanted it to. The conditions were not right. And so I tried again. I had to think of, this is how parenting works. We sow and we don't always see the results that we want to see right away. And so we sow again. We keep spreading the seeds. Proverbs writer said, actually it was Isaiah, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. It was God working with his people, and yet God as a father knows how it is for us as parents as we guide the little ones that he has given us. I want to look at three examples of mothers in the Bible who mothered in faith. And I want to take you to 1 Kings 17, the widow of Zarephath. I'm going to read first to you what Jesus had to say about this woman. Luke 4, 24, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias," I would say many mothers, "when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." I had to wonder what was so great about this woman that God chose her to send Elijah to. And I believe we get some of the answers if we go to 1 Kings 17. Now, a little background, we're going to start in at verse 8, but a little background here. Elijah had just told Ahab that it wasn't going to rain for several years. You can only imagine the drought that this would cause and the suffering that this would cause. We know the reason was the wickedness of the people and the king. Ahab did not see it that way. Ahab saw Elijah as the problem, and he proceeded, especially his wife Jezebel, proceeded to wanted to catch Elijah and punish him for what was happening in the land. So Elijah needed protection from a king, but he also needed food because he too was suffering. God didn't make a little green oasis around Elijah because he was a godly prophet. No, he also suffered throughout this time, just as we suffer, even though we might not be guilty ourselves. But we know that God provided. God told Elijah to go sit by the brook, and the ravens were going to be bringing him food. I don't know what that was like. I'm sure it wasn't a Sunday lunch meal. But God provided for Elijah, but then the brook dried up. We know that we need water even more than we need food. And so God had another plan, and he shared the next step of his plan. And was stepping here, verse 8 of 1 Kings 17. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God commanded someone to sustain Elijah. I don't think this lady, this woman, this mother realized that she had a command from God. But she had been commanded. And I ask you, have you been commanded by God? Yes, there are commands in the Bible. Love your children. Be a keeper at home. But what if God has a command for you that goes beyond this? To serve even more, we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Open your eyes to the privileges that you might have to bless others. Might even be a prophet of God, as this woman had the privilege to do. In verse 10, so he arose, Elijah arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, I want to stop there for a little bit. This stranger came walking up the road. And we know as we get further into this passage that this mother was gathering sticks to make a little fire, to bake a little bread for a last meal for she and her son. And then she was planning to die because she saw no other hope. There is no greater cause that a mother has than to provide for her young one. And yet this stranger came walking up the road and said, Hey, I need a drink. And she went. And I see a servanthood, a servant heart. What if she would have said, What the nerve? Can't you see I'm busy? Can't you see I'm busy doing something? Can you wait a few minutes till I'm done here? No, I get the impression that she went right away to serve as she had been called. Elijah had a request. He goes on to say, He called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but in a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. We see here that this mother was a desperate mother. She was at the end of her rope. She didn't know what she was going to do after this, but she was doing what she could. She was a caring mother. She was doing what she could for her child. The little bit that she had. You can only imagine that she could have reasoned in her heart that one of us may as well live. No point, both of us die. Maybe I'll be selfish, but no, we see the selflessness coming out in her mother heart. If she was going to share the last little bit of food that she had with her son. But as caring as she was, the stranger that had just come walking up the road was asking entirely too much. And if she could just tell him how bad she actually had it, he would understand or not. And so she tried. She laid it out as it was. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. I don't know if any of you mothers have ever been at a place where that's all you had in your pantry, but that's where she was. Verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. We see here that Elijah was laying out the test of faith for this widow mother. He's saying, you need to take that little bit of food that you have, that little bit of oil, and you need to make me a cake first. And then you can go do as you were planning to do. And I'm sure her thoughts were going, well, what am I going to do what I was planning to do if I've given you my last meal, the last meal of my son? Elijah makes a promise. It's a promise from God. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Should she trust him? Should she believe that what he was saying would be true? Because if she made him the cake first and found out that what he was saying was not true, she would die sooner than what she had expected. This test of faith was before her. What did she choose to do? Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She aced the test of faith. And I had to wonder how her faith was strong enough to see her through. Only God could use a poor, helpless widow to provide for his prophet, who was also poor and helpless. It is truly a miracle and an example of how God uses our helplessness to provide. And it's so true, I'm sure, mothers often feel that they're using their own helplessness to provide for those that God has given into their care. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. She thought she was being called to sacrifice the impossible, but God knew that the sacrifice that he was calling her to was the very gateway to what she could not even dream of. What was beyond her wildest imaginations? Enough food to last her through the end of the famine. She thought her death was imminent. She thought the death of her son was imminent. And yet here was the promise. And that exactly what happened. As she reached forward in faith, she stepped forward into the water in faith. And the waters parted as it were. The little bit of meal, the little bit of oil kept her alive for as long as the famine lasted. I believe God used her. I believe God sent Elijah to this woman because God knew she was a woman of faith. And I ask, how strong is our faith this morning? Can God use us as he used this woman, this widow woman? Next, I want to go to Matthew 15. We're looking at three women this morning. This is the second one we're looking at. And she also does not have a name. And in my studies, I was very surprised to find out that she came from the same country, the same area, in Sidon. She was not a woman of Israel. She did not have a long godly lineage, so to speak. And so it is with faith. Faith is personal to each one. Faith does not depend on me having some incredible godly family history, but it is in fact in my heart, my choices from day to day. And so we see that this woman, again, Matthew 15, I want to read verses 21 to 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and sought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This woman had a need. It was not a need for herself, but rather a need for her child. Her daughter had a demon, and it vexed her. I don't know, she was not from the land of Israel, but the stories must have gone far. She must have known that there was a man in the land of Israel who was healing children in this exact scenario. And when she found out that this man was coming through her land, she made it a point to go after him. Her daughter had a need, and a mother with a child in need is going to be seeking for the answers. And so we look at this story and we see her as she's chasing after the one who can provide healing for her child. And she cries for help, but her cries go unanswered, or so it seems. But her persistence is what we're looking at here. Verse 23 and verse 25, we see the persistence of a mother. The disciples described her as one that cried after them. She did not immediately give up. And then verse 25, when that didn't work, she came to Jesus and cried again, Lord, help me. And Jesus had told the parable of another widow who was facing an unjust judge. And she just plied him with her need for justice over and over and over again until he finally gave in. And Jesus was using that example to teach us the power of persistence in prayer. And I see that example here in this mother, her persistence in calling out to the one that she knew had the answers for her life and for her daughter. Jesus wants us to keep asking, to be persistent. But I believe it was more than just her persistence. It was her humility that really got Jesus' attention. Jesus used this example that the Jews often used. As they looked down on the Gentiles and they called them dogs, they felt they were so much better than the Gentiles around them. They were the called. They were the chosen ones. But their attitude was not right. And as Jesus used this example of how the Jews looked on the Gentiles, and he almost, it seemed like he was calling her a dog. And that's not the cute little pet that we think that people think of today. I believe that was the ones that ran the streets and cleaned up the food that was left behind for the beggars. Because we see here, as she came back to Jesus, and she was willing to take, O woman, great is thy faith. I'm sorry, it's not what I wanted to read. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She was only asking for the crumbs. She was willing to be a humble nobody. And Jesus was so impressed by her humility. And that got her attention. She could have been offended. If she had been offended and stormed away, she would have lost the very thing that she desired. Imagine if you were faced with a test like that. And you had passed the test. And you heard these words. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. How great is our faith. We see this mother didn't do this for herself. She did this all for her daughter. And she humbled herself for her daughter's sake. The selflessness of a mother. Finally, I want to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. We do have a name for her. And you can go to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, I'm not going to be reading a lot of verses, but you can follow along if you wish. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was also called to a very difficult task. The child that she was called to bear would be conceived before she was married. And I have to wonder, as she told her mother, as she told her father, and as her friends found out, and as the townspeople found out that she was expecting a baby and she had not yet been married, what would they say? A very difficult thing that she was being asked to go through. And yet we read in Luke 1:38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Mary chose to be a servant of her Lord. "Use me as you will," she said. And as she was saying that, I believe she understood a little bit of what she was being called to sacrifice as a mother. The experience of faith over fear of what others would say likely helped her as she faced the experiences in the future, especially as she coped when Jesus, her son, was accused of so many false things and put to death. God uses these experiences to prepare us for the next phase, the next chapter in the book that he has for us, but we don't know what's on the next page. We cannot turn the pages to see what's going to happen tomorrow. And as we step forward in faith and say, "Lord, use me as your handmaiden in humility and faith. Use me as you will." I do find it interesting that she chose to spend 3 months with another expectant mother of faith. Verse 38. And Mary rose in those days. I believe this is chapter 2. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Mary's stories were so different, and yet they were so similar. One was expecting a baby well beyond her childbearing years. And her husband, who should have been explaining what had happened, could not speak. Mary came to her. Mary was expecting a baby. As we know, the Lord Jesus Christ. A baby that was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And we can only imagine the conversations that these two expectant mothers must have had those 3 months that they spent together, the encouragement that they must have been for each other. But thankfully, we do have recorded a little bit of the conversation that they had. "Elizabeth, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And I can only imagine the encouragement that was to Mary to hear this blessing pronounced on her. "Blessed is she that believed." And Mary's reply, verse 46 to 48. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." That phrase in verse 48 caught my attention. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." She was a servant. But not only a servant, she was also a servant of low estate as she saw herself. And I have to think she would ask, "Why did God choose me?" I'm sure she wondered that. She raised that question and wondered, was it because of her humility? Was it because of her faith? Was it because of her purity? I believe it was. I believe it was all the above and more. "God has regarded my low estate. I am a nobody." As if that was not enough of a sacrifice, she was called to much more than that. And I had to wonder, how did this expectant mother, who was due to give birth to a baby any time, make the 90-mile trip to the town of Bethlehem? The Bible doesn't tell us if she walked, if she rode a donkey. The Bible story books tell us if she rode a donkey. I don't know if she did. But I can only imagine, I'm sure you as mothers who have carried a child, you can only imagine. It doesn't matter if she walked or she rode a donkey. Either way, it was a true test of faith for her at that time in her life. I believe, we don't know if it was a donkey that carried her, but we do know that it was her faith that carried her through as she made that trip. It was to a town that she was likely not familiar with, a place that probably did not have friends and family, but perhaps with the gossip going around in her hometown, perhaps that was a relief. I don't know. So her faith carried her through those torturous days, and they finally reached the town of Bethlehem, only to find out that there was no room in the inn. Joseph, what were you thinking? How did you get us into this mess? Can you imagine what Mary must have been tempted to say? Joseph, I've been depending on you, and here we are. What are we going to do? I don't know what conversations they had. We do know that this young couple did not have the comforts of home, but they had God, and they had each other. Once again, their faith carried them through. Mary gave birth to this God child far away from home. She was a new mother in an uncertain world. I'm sure her faith must have felt so weak some days, but God could use a weak faith, and he did. And then I believe her faith in her husband was severely tested a few years later, because she was probably settled in for a couple years and raising this little toddler, and her husband had a dream. You need to get out of here tonight, and you need to leave and go all the way down to Egypt, a place you've never been before. I cannot imagine the thoughts that must have went through Mary's mind. Joseph, are you sure? How do you know we're supposed to believe what you heard in a dream? I'm finally getting used to our new town. Jesus is too young to travel that far. Are you sure you know what we're doing? Do you think Mary challenged Joseph? Somehow I don't think so. Somehow I don't think that's how she was. Just going by what we know of her so far and her humility and her faith, I believe that her test of faith in God and in her husband, I believe she passed that test. We know that she went with Joseph with the young child to Egypt. Once again, this young couple was homeless vagabonds on the road to where God had asked them to go. Her faith was tested as Jesus grew, as he started his ministry, as he suffered and died on the cross. Think back with me that picture of when Mary was sitting there by the manger with the little child, Jesus, and the shepherds came bursting in, and they were all excited about what they had seen. The angels were singing, "Glory to God in the highest." And they were all excited, and they were talking about it, and they were telling the townsfolks, and town people were wondering, the Bible tells us, and I'm sure they were doing more than wondering, they were talking. But Mary, we are told, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. How Mary must have pondered when Simeon at the temple told her, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." She was enjoying this new child, this new baby she'd just given birth. This man at the temple told her that a sword is going to pierce through your own soul. We see as Jesus got older, he turned 12. They went to the temple and he went along. We know the story about how they went a day's journey home and only discovered that evening that Jesus was nowhere to be seen. They went back and they searched through Jerusalem for a couple of days till they finally found him. And her frustration showed through. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing." So we see the care of a mother's heart, that she's looking for her child who was lost. And her frustration, I believe, did show through a little bit. Or a lot, I don't know, we're not told. But she didn't understand the answer that Jesus gave her. "How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now we know that Jesus did obey. He went home with them. But Mary did not forget these words. We are told that Mary kept all these sayings in her heart. I wonder if she remembered those 12-year-old words when Jesus said, "Who is my mother? Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother." I wonder if she remembered the 12-year-old's words, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" She must have pondered these things in her heart as Jesus was slandered and tortured and killed. Watching this take place must have been a sword through her own heart, as the Simeon had told her would happen 33 years before. You see, Mary couldn't see the whole picture. God could see the whole picture, but Mary could not. She could only take one step of faith at a time. She could only ponder. And so often it is that way with us. We don't know what tomorrow brings, and we ponder. What is the future? Now, I believe that is a true picture of faith. Choosing to be a handmaiden of the Lord. Going wherever she was called, not knowing what would happen tomorrow. She chose to care for her son and raise him, the one who God had given her. And yet she was willing to let go when God called him to the ministry, when he was called by God. She chose to love even when it was so painful and confusing. A true mother of faith. No wonder she was going to be called blessed. The example of these mothers of faith is a challenge that I leave with you today. Will you choose to be a handmaiden of the Lord? Will you go where he calls even when you cannot make sense out of God's plan? Will you follow God first, just as the widow mother in faith served Elijah before her own son? And so doing, blessed her son far more than she could have ever imagined if she had followed her own plan. Will you, as a Canaanite woman, be persistent in your love and prayers for the ones that God has given to you? Determined to call on Jesus' healing power for your loved ones? If so, I believe you will be richly blessed by the one who holds your life in his hand. Keep trusting and keep serving. May God bless you, mothers. Let's pray.